It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
Did you hear that, Jim? The announcer guy said, for your benefit.
Yeah.
Is that debatable?
Is that... Could be.
Is that the definition of subjective or what?
Well, it might be, yeah.
That could be. Yeah. All right, welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Monday, November 7th, 2022. I trust you had a great weekend.
I did indeed. I did indeed. Working as usual.
I had a great weekend.
Very good.
That's all I'm going to say. I had a great weekend.
Uh-huh.
Like with a capital G, great.
Did that involve Black Cat X?
No.
Okay.
But that was yesterday.
So we're going to leave our listeners in suspense.
You
then.
Know me. The personal stuff stays at
yes.
home. But
yes.
No, a great, with a capital G, weekend.
Good.
Yes.
Well, you deserve it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think I do, too. Absolutely. All right. Very special guest in the studio. Without further ado, Lisa Roman is here. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I should say welcome back. You were a regular guest for quite a while.
I was back in the kind of early days of 2019, and we would come every month and
right.
represent our district.
Yeah. Lisa is a Lake Havasu Unified School District governing board member. You're a school board member.
Yes.
But that's the official title, right?
I have an official title, but colloquially I am a school board member.
Right, and you're running again.
Yes.
And I saw you at Kiwanis and said, hey, we need to get Lisa on the show before Election Day, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
And you're running for re-election,
yes.
which is really strange. We were talking before the show. This is an unpaid position.
It is.
So you must really love the job.
I do it mostly for the glory and the ticker tape parades and just the general air of exultation and greets me wherever I go. No, it's very meaningful to me. I have three children of my own in the school district, and so making improvements where I can is just very rewarding work for me.
How long have you lived in Lake Havasu City?
Almost 9 years. We bounced around a little bit after my husband and I got married. We lived on the East Coast for a bit and then Texas, and we ended up here. He grew up in Yuma, so we're close to his side of the family.
He being Dr. Roman.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And tell us about your background and your education.
Well, I grew up in Oregon in a very small city. Siletz, Oregon, if you've ever heard of it, has 1,000 citizens.
Gee. So Havasu's the big city.
Havasu
Wait a minute.
Kind of a large city.
So Needles is bigger than your hometown.
By quite a bit.
I put that in perspective. Right?
Yeah, that
there you go.
That clarifies it.
Needles has stoplights, and where I grew up does not. So.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No stoplight.
No. So I grew up in a small town. Kind of wanted to see, you know, something different when I graduated from high school, and so I ended up at the University of Arizona in Tucson. I majored in psychology. That's where I met Nick and started a family. And like I said, kind of bounced around for a little bit and ended up here on the Southwest.
Right, right. What issues do you see facing the school board, or issues that have faced the school board that the board has more or less conquered or negotiated? And then what issues do you see coming up that are important to the board?
So the accomplishment that I'm very proud of, I think that we have a really good handle on this situation now, but when I first joined the board, kind of my impetus for wanting to join the board in the first place was I was working as a substitute teacher, and I noticed that the materials that the teachers were using were very outdated, very threadbare. They were using textbooks from, you know, the 1990s, which was 30 years prior. And I just thought that we could do better. We could make curriculum updates a priority for our district. And so I'm very proud to say now that we have new programs for every grade level. Every student, no matter what grade they are in, they have new textbooks. Some are brand new this year, and some have been rolled out a couple years prior. But everyone has something new and modern that they are learning.
How is that accomplished?
We have our curriculum adoption process, and so it's kind of a lengthy, I won't go into all the nitty-gritty unless you really want me to, but we have a panel where we talk about different textbooks that are available. We choose one that we think would be suitable for our community. The public has a 60-day inspection period where they can weigh in, and then our board votes to either approve or reject.
Is that something the public, the parents, can come in? You said the 60-day review period. Is there one currently going on now?
No, there isn't. There will be one coming up. We're going to be talking about social studies curriculum and science curriculums for the high school. So there will be, just look, be on the lookout for that. We try to do a really good job of publicizing it and making sure that we make announcements at all the board meetings and online that this is something that anyone can come in. You don't have to be a parent. Or a grandparent. You can be a community member. If you're curious to see what's going on in our kids' classrooms, you're welcome to come in.
When you spoke of the upgrading or modernizing of the textbooks, what went through my mind as you were saying it is that I have an impression that our school district is impoverished, and I thought it was going to be a challenge to do this for budgetary restrictions or limitations. Is that just a case that our board or some part of it has not been doing their job, has not been up to speed?
It's actually a really good question.
I wouldn't say so much. No, I wouldn't say that it's that that's so much the issue. It was more kind of we had the funding in front of us, and part of that was because of ESSER funding from the federal level. And we just made it our priority to update the curriculum. We knew that it needed to be done. Textbooks do not last forever. And the ones that we approved, especially for the high school, they are meant to be used alongside laptop computers. And so we also funded the addition of laptops at the high school.
Yeah, when I first heard you discuss this topic, you were talking about books that were 20 years old. I mean, imagine learning about history from... Or
yeah,
any
skipping
subject,
the last 20 years.
Except for math, that's the one, you know, the one constant. But, yeah, if you want to learn about history from 20, you know, what was up to 20 years ago, that's like, wow, that's dated.
That was the eye-opener. I saw a book that listed George Bush, the first George Bush, senior George Bush.
Bush 41.
Herbert Walker.
Right.
As the current president.
Oh, wow.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Can you imagine
walking? And have a suit.
That's like the classrooms where you had a picture of the president on the wall. It's like walking into a classroom and George Herbert Walker Bush is the president.
A little bit of time travel there.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. The number is 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. We're talking to school board member Lisa Roman, who is on the ballot for reelection. And if you have a question for her, give us a call. And Jim, did you have another question?
I do. So that's a fascinating accomplishment. Are there similar ones that you're looking to achieve in this upcoming term? Are there other things of general that would be a general shock to our listeners that we're behind the curve? Or are we in good shape?
I think we are in good shape. I do think we're in better shape than we were four years ago, for sure. So curriculum is a little bit like laundry. It's kind of one of those things that always needs to be done. So that will never really truly be off the table for us. But other things, you know, our district does face some other challenges. We're a rural district. We have the same workforce housing problems, difficulties that we see in other communities. And so working with the city, working with our community partners to possibly tackle that problem or at least offset it a little bit, I think that that will be something that we're discussing as a board in the future as well.
Are our teachers grossly underpaid?
We've been able to, thanks to the override that our community passed back in 2016, we've been able to bolster what we receive from the state. It's still on the low end of the scale, but we recently approved a 7% salary increase for our certified staff and then an hourly increase for our classified staff. And then we also came up with a 4.5% cost of living adjustment. Mm-hmm. So we have been able to, as we receive money, we've been able to approve that and distribute that to teachers.
So we are becoming competitive?
We are, yes. We are working
towards being competitive. This yes. must be a very difficult thing for the board to face.
It is. It's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating because we know that our teachers are hardworking professionals, and we know that they deserve to be paid like hardworking professionals. So, like I said, we are generous with the money that we have to distribute, but we would always like to see that be increased because it is not. It's not quite commensurate with some of our neighboring communities.
Wherein does the fault for that lie?
So.
Or is this inappropriate at pre-election time?
It's tough to pinpoint that.
Yeah.
I know right where you're going with that, Lisa. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to be between the legislature and other priorities. Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is. And we're grateful for what we receive from the state. But one thing that I think might surprise your listeners, without the override, we would not have full-time kindergarten or full-day kindergarten in our communities. The state funds half-day kindergarten. Hmm. We use the override funds to fund the rest of that. So that's one example where I do feel like the state could do more to support education and particularly early education.
Do you think the district is doing a good job with the taxpayers' money, with the stewardship of the taxpayers' money?
I do. One thing that the school board provides is citizen oversight, and our district is very transparent about where our money is going, mm-hmm. where it comes from. Anything that we fund, we vote to approve that during a public meeting. So any citizen in our community has access to that information, and I do think that we've been careful. Especially since it's not my money that I'm spending, it's someone else's.
Right. And the reason I ask that is because we're currently in the sunset of the override from 2016. It's very possible you may need to go out to the taxpayers again for another override. I mean, I don't know the current situation, but it's very possible. How do you convince the voters that you're going to need another override if you do?
I think the key component there is communication. So we want people to know that they're getting some bang for their buck. I think that's the part that sometimes is the missing piece of the equation. People don't see that they're getting a return on their investment. We, at the high school, for instance, we have a career and technical education program, which I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, that was called vocational ed.
Right.
It's extremely popular, and about 89% of the people who choose one of those CTE pathways graduate from high school with an industry credential. So we are providing to our city a workforce after they graduate mm-hmm. that's already ready to go. Some of them already have their OSHA 10 certification, which if you own a restaurant or a small business, that is something that you are receiving an 18 or 19-year-old who already has that component taken care of, and that's not money out of your pocket. It's built into the cost of funding public education.
Do you see those current partnerships with MCC or with ASU at Lake Havasu, do you see those expanding?
Yes, I do. I think that is one of the projects that our district will very much be involved in. Helping current seniors see MCC or ASU here in Havasu as a very viable goal or a very mm-hmm. viable pathway towards higher education. We also have dual enrollment programs at the high school.
Right.
So kids can take classes that are offered at the community college or at ASU and earn college credit. That is also a huge savings to their families. Mm-hmm.
There's also the one, Jim, that Chief Pete talks about.
Oh, the fire.
Right.
Yes.
Fire training.
The fire training program, yeah. Before they go to actual school for that or the academy.
That's a really great example of a city school partnership. So the city, the Lake Havasu Fire Department was kind of struggling to keep its workforce of firefighters current and on par with what it needed to be. Mm. our school said, well, this is a great opportunity for us to have a partnership in a fire science class. That's something that a lot of our students would be interested in. And so with the help of Pete Palafis and him working closely with our superintendent, they were able to develop this program.
All right,
very
perfect.
Good, very practical.
Guess what kind of music Lisa likes?
Gee, I don't know.
Motown.
Wow.
I picked Motown.
You gotta love that. So Martha and the Vandellas dancing in the streets were with Lisa Roman. She's a school board member running for re-election in Lake Havasu City for the Lake Havasu Unified School District. I'm Paul Lavoie. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have ASU at Lake Havasu Executive Director, Dr. Carla Harkelrode. It's like Educators Day.
Yes.
Right?
Maybe we'll get smarter.
Well, I will.
Not likely.
I will. I don't know. I don't know about you, Jim. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brother Jim Russell. We'll be right back. Jim, I think you were already done with school when this was out. Right?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
In the studio, it feels like they should name the song Dancing in Our Seats.
That's Jim. Jim's the chair dancer.
Yeah. That's
right. Absolutely. That's Speak right. Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, and by Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Go online to lesolson.com/kingman. Les Olson, OLSON.com/kingman. And again, we stream live at KNTRtalk.com. Our show archives are there as well. And we are also on the Lake Havasu City app. Did you know that?
Yes.
Available at the Google Play and Apple iStore for free 99.
Free is good.
Free 99, my favorite saying. Right, right, right. Again, we're with Lisa Roman. She is a school board member running for re-election for the Lake Havasu Unified School District. And I have to ask, somebody asked this at Kiwanis, too. Mm-hmm. Talk about critical race theory and the perception out there that it's being taught in our schools. Is it or isn't it?
It is not. Our board, back in September 2021, we had the opportunity to approve policy that would exclude any materials that pass judgment or blame on a student or any individual on the basis of their race, their ethnicity, or their sex. Our board unanimously, meaning I also voted to approve this policy, we approved the exclusion of those materials. So we excluded anything that I believe would fall under the umbrella of CRT. We don't think that it's appropriate for K through 12 education. And so we approved a policy that lets us examine materials and make sure that it doesn't include something that would cast blame on someone for something that they didn't do.
Right.
We don't want children to feel responsible for actions that they didn't have any part of.
Have we had the parental involvement like they've had back east at some of the meetings that we hear about on talk radio and in published reports?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not that conversant on what's going on back east, so mm-hmm. I can't really compare. I would say that I feel like there are a lot of involved parents in our community. I heard from a lot of people when some of these issues were surfacing mm-hmm. Via email or phone call. And so I feel like parents are aware of what's going on and that they do feel free to speak out or attend meetings.
Do you think that involvement came around during the pandemic then, when there was hybrid learning or when students were learning at home, parents saw a little bit more of what they were actually being taught?
I'm not sure that this arose out of something that someone saw in our district. I think
okay.
It's maybe more they're responding to something that they heard about in a different district
or
a different
good.
State.
Very good. I want to talk about Oro Grande's Classical Academy, mm-hmm. and then you were mentioning the difference between that and what's being taught through the rest of the district in the elementary schools. Talk
yes.
about that curriculum.
Okay. So we have 6 elementary schools. All of them are now teaching the Horn Knowledge program, the curriculum. We piloted that at Oro Grande, and it was so successful and so well reviewed. The teachers love it, the parents love it, the students love it. And we felt like it was something that we wanted to have at the other 5 elementaries at school in our district.
Right.
And so no matter where your child goes to school, they are learning the same things that they would learn in any of the other schools. Oro Grande is a classical academy, so it uses a slightly different style of teaching. I guess the best way to describe it is that maybe it's a little bit more formal.
Is that the Hillsdale curriculum then?
It's, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between that and the other?
Like I said, it's a little bit more formal. The classroom is structured a little bit differently, but they are learning the same materials throughout our district.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is there anything that you want to cover that we haven't covered as far as why you're running for re-election?
I just want to underscore that this is very meaningful work for me, that this is something that I've been involved in. I have volunteered in schools since my children were little. At each of the different places that we've lived. I've served on PTAs, I've served on booster clubs, and this was just felt like a natural extension of that volunteer work.
Is it still called PTA?
Well, at Starline it is.
Oh, really?
Some of the schools have different PTSOs or PTOs.
Right.
Yes.
So how long have you been serving on the board?
On the school board?
Yes.
I'm wrapping up my 4th year of service.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's one term.
That's one term.
And you're asking for another 4 years on the board.
That's right.
Gotcha. All right. Let's go ahead and take our second break of the hour.
Okay.
Good job, Lisa.
Thank you.
And good luck in your re-election bid.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Again, Election Day is tomorrow. Polls are open till 7, and then we've got our Election Day show at night.
Hello.
Starting at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
We'll have Brandon Bowers in your seat.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll have Bill McMillan from the Mojave Daily News calling in with updates on their school board election. And we'll have Roger Galloway calling in from the county at the election office. He'll get returns and then give them to us. And then we've got Steve Greeley over at Nico's for their big election night party.
My.
That's going to be a busy show. Busy show.
Yes.
From 8 to 10 p.m. tomorrow night. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brother Jim Russell. We've got Dr. Carla Harkelrode. I think she's calling in right now. We'll have Dr. Carla right after the bottom of the hour break. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moon.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Got 90s country going on. You know what that means, right?
I think it must mean Dr. Carla's in the studio. Or on the phone.
We almost had her in the studio. I think if we'd have been able to go another half hour, I would have been able to coax her out of the... We can't call that the mothership. The mothership's in Tempe, right, Dr. Carla?
That's correct. Four locations in the Phoenix and Tempe area. That's
wow,
right.
Very good. You've got the disclaimer down. Welcome to marketing.
ASU is in many places. It's, you know,
oh,
that's actually
man.
One of their slogans is
it really
one
is.
University in many places.
It really, really is. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, Herb's Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And just as a programming side note, we've moved the Real Estate Power Hour this month only to this Wednesday, not the third Wednesday. It'll be on the second Wednesday. We'll have the Chamber and Esme Electric move down to the third Wednesday. That's just for this month for, I don't know, scheduling purposes.
This is entirely too confusing, and you do that on the day when
daylight
savings time goes away? I'm overwhelmed.
People are already in a haze over on the Nevada and California side. Absolutely.
Yes.
So the reason I bring that up is because of Bobby Lewis is going to be on the show, and he's compiling the real estate numbers for the Havasu market today, like as we speak. And Bobby and Chad will be in on Wednesday for the Real Estate Power Hour. So there you go.
Good.
So Dr. Carla Harker Road, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Happy Monday.
We have to mind our P's and Q's today. You know why?
No.
Why is that?
Your parents are listening.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, my parents are listening all the way from Oregon. So hello to the parents. Yep.
I love that. Where are they located?
They're in Eugene, Oregon.
In Eugene. That's right. Okay. So, and that's, of course, University of Oregon country, the Ducks. Looking pretty good this
that
year.
That is.
In football, by the way. All right.
Yes, they are.
All right. So, we want to give an enrollment and residence hall update. What's going on with that?
Sure. So we are actually nearing the end of fall semester, which is really hard to believe, but we are not that far away, about a month out from the end of fall semester. So we are looking ahead at spring 2023, and we are also actually looking way out at fall 2023 because that's how admission cycles work. So we are ahead in applications for spring 2023 in comparison to where we were last spring at this time. So we're expecting some new students, and we'll see exactly how many. You know, that's not the semester where we actually see the most number of new students. We see them in the fall, which makes sense. But we do take in some new students in the spring, so we're looking forward to that. And we'll see how many we actually have, yeah.
Is there a census point on that? What is the date?
Yeah, actually, the university takes a census on the 21st day of the semester, every semester. So, for example, we started in August, and the 21st day was September 7th for fall semester.
Oh, very good. That's a big day for you then, that 21st day of the semester. Make sure nobody does what do they call that, the pass-fail, when they withdraw? Withdrawal passing, that's it.
Complete withdrawal is usually what they refer to that as, yes. And so, yeah, you know, there's lots of movement before the 21st day as a general rule, and then there's movement after that, but that's the snapshot that the university takes, and then those are the official numbers that are reported out for enrollment, for every location, et cetera.
The last time you were on, you were talking about the housing for students and the Lake Havasu Hall,
yes.
And also the use of the views. Is there an update on that?
Yeah, so it's gone really, really well. We have 18 students living on the bottom floor at the Views, and we're expecting to have roughly the same number over there. We can have as many as 19 over there, so we're essentially almost full in that space. We have a total of 81 students living with us, so 18 over at the Views, and the rest of them are over here in Lake Havasu Hall. So we have a couple of empty beds, not very many, which is great. That means we're full. We're pretty much full. And we are very excited. You know, the Views has also been providing our food service for our students who live on campus. So students can walk down there if they live up here and are on a meal plan with us, and they go in and they use their commercial kitchen, which is actually a restaurant. So they've been providing our food service, and we've all agreed to continue on with them for spring 2023. That purchase order was actually just signed by ASU. So we're continuing on with them, and it's been a really great service for our students. We're excited about it.
Jim, should I ask how the food is there? Because the reason I ask is because my brother went to school, I'm not going to say the school, on a full ride soccer scholarship. Uh-huh. And he lost 25 pounds in one semester, which you don't want to lose when you're 18 or 19 years old. You know what I mean? Especially if you're building muscle.
Yeah.
But how is the food? What are the reviews you get?
You know, students have actually been, for the most part, pretty happy. There are always things that come up, questions that come up. You know, there may be dietary restrictions that, you know, we need to try to figure out how to address, or, you know, something happens, whatever. So those things are expected and normal. But for the most part, you know, it's a restaurant, and their chef is quite creative. And they actually built out menus specifically for ASU students.
Oh,
so ASU students actually have specific menus over there.
Oh,
very cool.
I think it's gone quite well. And I'm sure, you know, as we work through the rest of fall and the spring, I'm sure we'll make adjustments. And as we think about next year, I'm sure we'll revisit those menus and collect student feedback, et cetera. But we actually had students go try the food. So they actually had a test group go over there. The Views hosted them. It was free to students. And there was a small group that actually ate there in the spring.
Huh.
To test their food,
right.
And give feedback.
Dr. Carla, going back a ways, it seems to me that there was some amount of room yet to build out in your on-campus residence. Has that been done yet, or is that still in the future?
Yeah, so what used to be an old motel and is now the residence hall here and has been remodeled to AC specifications, the bottom floors have been remodeled and renovated. But the top floor, so one building actually has two floors. And that top floor on that building has not been renovated. Oh. So if we reach a point where it makes sense to actually renovate that space because we're overflowing to that degree, then that's something that, we can absolutely talk about with ASU and figure out what our next steps are going to be. I would create an additional 33 beds if we were to actually renovate that space on the second floor.
Now, it also seems to me that one of the other hotels in town was housing some of the students in the past. Is that still going on?
No. So the Hampton Inn in the spring was our location where we had 10 students because we were in an overflow scenario. So in order to avoid having students so far away from campus, well, it might not be that far away. It's far away for students who don't have vehicles, right? That's a long ways away for students who don't have vehicles, and we were figuring out how to transport them from the hotel here, those kinds of things. The partnership that we actually have with the Views, where we actually are leasing out their bottom floor, has made it so we actually don't have to have students so far off property, which helps us serve them better. It's allowed us to use our shuttle. We have an ASU shuttle. It's allowed us to use our shuttle to do other things for students rather than transport them from a meal to a meal plan at the hospital. We all know many of your listeners have heard me talk about the fact that we had a meal plan at the hospital, and they did a great job for us. We're using our shuttle to transport students there. So now that we're not doing that and students can walk, we're able to use the shuttle to do all kinds of other things for them.
That sounds like a real win-win deal.
Right.
To be
everyone is winning. And our shuttle driver showed up early this morning. She actually had a run to Vegas today to the airport. So we actually do provide some, with enough notice, support for students traveling to and from the airport. So we can't cover everybody, but if they let us know in advance, we don't run our shuttle to Phoenix. It's a little bit too far for a day for the driver, and we end up needing to manage overnights and things like that. But we do go to Vegas.
Yeah.
So it's allowed us to use our shuttle in different ways.
Interesting you bring that up. I was going to bring up the fact that you do pick up international students in Vegas or students flying in. And is there still the problem with the pandemic and there were different different concerns in different states and that? Has that all settled down a little bit?
Yeah, for the most part, our international students are here studying with us in person. So, for the most part, we have some very, very, very rare exceptions with some things going on in the world where we've been able to work with ASU to figure out what might be right for a particular student with a very particular set of circumstances for a semester. But for the most part, all of our international students are here, and we just don't see the same challenges with them getting here and, can they even get home? We're not having those same challenges anymore.
Now, transportation in Lake Havasu City has gotten pretty interesting with the Havasu Transit used to be called, and they've got the new buses, the new vans, and that sort of thing. And you'll see Uber stickers on them, by the way. Is that proving to be pretty convenient for students as well?
Yeah, the microtransit option that Lake Havasu City has is incredibly important in helping our students be more mobile. It's also affordable. We actually use the microtransit option to help shuttle our students. We paid for it, but to help shuttle our students from the hotel to campus. Last spring. So that microtransit option, when students are like, I need to get somewhere and, our shuttle can't do it, whatever, we just say, here's a great option for you. So I do think that that's really, really helpful, yes.
That's really nice, Jim. You can actually see the buses approach on the Uber app.
Oh, cool.
From what I understand. Is that right, Dr. Carla?
Yep. So their microtransit option actually runs through the Uber app. So the way that, that they explain it is that it runs through Uber, but these are city employees who run these cars,
Yeah, it's a really neat partnership. Patrick Cypress deserves a lot of credit for that. So,
yep,
yeah,
100%.
Did a great job. So we talked about renovation a little bit earlier, and did you? And I know from a couple of months ago we were talking about the residence hall for Lake Havasu Hall and the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Did you address that already?
No.
I didn't think so.
We're re-roofing. We decided to hold, once the materials came in, the semester had started, And we decided not to root, to work on the roofing at, you know, 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning when students were going to class and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we held the re-roofing project until December. So as soon as the semester is over, we'll be working on that project. But we are putting in a new roof. You know, it needed to be done. It leaks every now and again when it rains, things like that. So we are putting in a new roof.
That'll be on Wednesday.
Yeah,
by the
there's
way.
No hurry because it never rains in heaven. Tomorrow.
Well, no, it really pours, but we've patched and done all kinds of things to support it. It's just time. So we're excited about that. You know, we did paint, and you probably all noticed that we've got that new monument signage out there. If you've gone by Acoma and Swanson, the entrance to campus, we have new monument signage, which we're excited about.
I haven't seen it. Is it right there on the street, or is it set back a little bit?
Nope, it's right there. So it's at the entrance. There are two new signs. There's one at University Way, so right off Swanson, and then there's one at Acoma and Swanson. And so one of our projects is actually going to be to landscape some of that space. But, yeah, we have brand-new monument signage, which we're excited about. We've been working on that for a long time.
That's one of those things that's careful what you wish for. Now you're going to get more vehicle traffic.
Hey, you know, that's the idea. We want more people to come to ASU at Lake Havasu.
Oh, very good.
So
very
that's
good.
The idea. Yes.
What about the fitness center? Where did we leave off on that?
Yeah. Well, we're excited. We're about to reopen. So, you know, we renovated from the ground up. I mean, and we did everything from asbestos testing to everything else in order to do that renovation. So the floor has been renovated. We have brand new equipment, paint. You name it. It's been done in that space. We are waiting for some security cameras and a card reader. We are badge access for a number of our buildings here on campus. And
sure.
So what that means is you have to have an ID, and you flash that ID in front of the reader, and then the door opens for you if it's set on a schedule, of course. But so we are badge access now, and so we are going to make the fitness center a badge access environment, so you'll need an ID to get in. That equipment has lived in the supply chain problems. That exists in the world right now. So we're still waiting for that piece. But we're going to go ahead and reopen, and we're going to reopen next week.
Darn it, Jim. I was looking for a gym that I could get into.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. to know me is to really laugh at that joke, by the way.
Yes.
I do not care to work out.
Yes.
It's a lot of work. That's why they call it work out, right? All right, let's go on to some projects and initiatives, especially on what we were talking about with Lisa Roman with the K-12 partnership efforts.
Yeah, so, you know, now that we're in a different place related to the pandemic, we're really excited to be partnering with K-12 in any way that we can to support students and to support a college-going culture, and it's never too early to start supporting a college-going culture. So one of the programs we have, which we've talked about before, is Connect Now. So it's a program for high school students in their junior and senior year to go ahead and actually take a class, up to two classes with us here at ASU at Lake Havasu, and each class is $99, which if anyone knows the prices of college classes, that's a steal of a deal.
Right.
So it's a steal of a deal. It's a great option for students to come and try out taking a class and see what that feels like. So we're excited about that. We piloted in the fall, and we're going to be continuing on in the spring.
$99
So that's one of our initiatives right now.
Wow.
$99 is like a couple hours at a few universities, right?
That's like lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's a great rate. What are you offering with that?
Yeah, so, well, that's a great question, Paul.
Thank
and
you.
I'm sitting here in front of my computer, and I'm going to go ahead and look up those classes for you right now. See, this is what happens when I'm in my office. I can actually do that for you.
Allegedly, I ask great questions, so thanks.
Oh, allegedly, yes. While I'm looking that up, though, I one of the other initiatives that we have, and we're excited to be bringing back, is we're actually hosting students in a number of ways on campus. And we actually just had a math challenge event facilitated and led by one of our faculty members. And so that took place on Friday. We had just under 200 elementary school students here participating in a math challenge event.
Man, where was I? That was my minor.
So, you know, that's... It was fun. Sparky made an appearance and helped to give out awards. And there were a lot of parents and family members and friends that were in the gym at noon to see the awards. So it was really neat to see that kind of participation from families in the middle of the day, too. So it was really quite great. So that's one of our efforts. But we're also, that was for elementary school students. But we're also looking at what we're going to do for middle school students in the spring, so we're also working on that as well. And I've just been talking with the faculty member who hosts these events, and so we're going back and forth about that right now.
That's funny, Jim, when I hear the word Sparky.
Yes.
I think of Mike McAndrew. That's Mike McAndrew's
nickname.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, Brian went to University of Arizona, uh-huh, and Mike went to ASU. So, and now they're business partners. So U of A and ASU can get along, Dr. Carla.
Yeah, of course. And I'm looking at the classes we're offering, going back to the Connect Now piece. So
right.
There's an econ class, English, chemistry, introduction to health professions, computer applications and information technology, and nutrition class, and human pathophysiology. Some of these classes actually have prerequisites to them, which makes sense because students often will take the first class in the fall and then end up taking a second class in the spring, at least for our students who are enrolled, ASU Lake have students enrolled full time. So, but in any event, those are the courses we're offering for Connect Now.
Yeah, interesting. So something we've been discussing with Christina over at the BBB is the Have a Startup Business Plan Competition. Do you have an update on that?
There's a group that's going to be at Creative Comrades this Wednesday in the evening, November 9th, to present on what the options are for Have a Startup. So we're about to be collecting applications and inviting people who are working on a new business idea, or they're working on an idea that's sort of just getting off the ground, to participate in a competition around that. So we're really getting close to launch here, and we're going to be talking more at Creative Comrades on Wednesday.
Wow, interesting.
Creative Comrades. That's
an interesting
name.
Yeah, we kind of beat that one with a stick a while back. So, finally, I want to talk about the 10-year celebration. We had Dr. Raymond was here for much of that time,
yes,
and then you came in. What's planned for the 10-year celebration?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, we're excited to celebrate 10 years in Lake Havasu City. So, well, for many people who've worked here for 10 years, and there are a number of people, faculty and staff, who've been here the entire time. 10 years feels like a long time. In the scheme of higher education at universities and colleges, 10 years is just a little blip on the radar. So, but we are so excited to be able to celebrate. And we're probably going to celebrate in February, and we're going to have an open house, and invite community members to come in, and we're going to have some gallery walks looking at the history and how things have transformed since we started here. And we'll take some next steps. We're going to have a presentation as well, a short one, some food, of course, food always helps. And I'm very excited that ASU News is actually planning to come out to take pictures of that event and interview some folks here locally. So it should be a really nice moment to celebrate 10 years here.
I'm definitely going to go. I might ask
you
Jim to go with me.
Yeah, you weren't invited yet, though.
Oh, it's an open house.
No, don't worry. Nobody's really been invited yet,
okay,
but, you know, I'll make sure
house.
You're on the guest list, you know?
Yeah,
no problem.
You did say open house.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. Dr. Carla, as always, thanks for being here. Did you have another question, Jim?
Oh, I was just going to say, 10 years, how's the school doing with respect to goals and things for the 10th anniversary?
Yeah, you know, so our goal is, well, we have lots of goals, but our goal is always to grow our enrollment, which we're doing, right?
Yes.
So, you know, we have a 60% positive growth from fall 2020. We have 7% positive growth from last fall. So we're excited about that. Our goal is to continue to grow, but our goal is also to provide excellent service and support to our students, our faculty and staff, as well as to the community. So I think in many of those areas, we're excelling and we're doing well, but there's always room for new work and new ideas. And the 10-year celebration is a good opportunity for reflection and to think about what's next.
Always.
No, great.
Always, always.
Great. And as we leave, let's say goodbye to your parents, too, and listening in Oregon.
That's
bye,
right.
Doug and Jean.
From what I understand from a friend that lives in Springfield, it's right next door, right?
Correct.
There's a lot of rain this past weekend. I don't know. It might be raining there now, too. So stay dry, Dr. Carla's parents. Stay dry. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Carla. We appreciate it, as always.
Okay, great. Have a good Monday, everybody.
All right,
take
you
care.
Too. Thank you. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell.
A girl like her, she just can't see what the fuss is all about. And she don't know she's beautiful.
All right, we're back on Speak Out with a final shot. And as I told you during the break, Jim, my all-time favorite Sammy Kershaw song.
Yes, great music.
Interesting guy to work with, by the way.
Yeah.
But I digress. All right, coming up on Speak Out 2.0, Val and Jackie from the Laughlin Chamber are the guests in the studio. On tomorrow's show here, it's Election Day, we'll have Jess Knudsen, city manager, will be on. And so we're not going into Hannity, by the way, just for you listeners who are used to us going into the Sean Hannity show. Karate Man is on at 1 o'clock. He's on after Speak Out 2.0.
More confusion due to daylight savings.
It's kind of easier now because you have Speak Out, then Speak Out 2.0, like the 1-2 punch. Get it? Ooh, pretty good,
very
right?
Good, yes.
A little marketing from the mind of Pauly. There you go. All right, we have Monday Night Football over on the sports station. The Ravens at Saints. That's at 5:30. 6:10, I think, is the kickoff. All right, Speak Out 2.0 is up next after news and a short break.
She don't know she's beautiful. Never cross my mind. She don't know she's beautiful.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.